the Elite Life Podcast. With your hosts, Tricia and Kylie. Here, we guide you on a journey of personal and professional transformation. Revealing the secrets to success. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, join us as we unlock the doors to the elite world of growth, grit, and grace. So, let's dive in.
Welcome, 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 friends, to another episode of the Elite Life Podcast. We are so glad you joined us today. My name's Trish.
I'm Kylie.
Hi, Kylie.
Hi, my mic is way over here. Hi, guys. I have arrived.
And we are really excited for this episode today. It is something that has been really weighing on my heart so much lately. I think it's, you know, I've been talking about like different themes that have been going on in my life. And this is definitely a theme that I have been feeling and seeing happening, not just in my life, but like the people around me too. And that's just like life in transition. And what I mean by that is like, we're always changing and our lives are always changing and we're going from this season to that season and this season to that season. And it's kind of crazy when you don't see somebody for a while and then you see them, especially if they have kids, right? Because like I may see Everett and he's a baby and then I don't see him and then he's a toddler and I'm like, where'd the baby go? And then I don't see him and he's like a big kid coming out and talking and walking and stuff. And that keeps happening like in all avenues of your life. Like if you have kids or it's a job or it's a relationship. And it's kind of been a theme of our podcasts today because we batch record. So this is our fourth episode we're recording. And all of them have kind of had this underlying theme of like going through these transitions in life and finding what aligns with you inside and where you want to be and where you want to go as this happens. And maybe it's just because I'm getting older.
It's really not. I have been struggling, and I'm glad you brought this up because this will give me a place to articulate this, because when I try to talk to Ryan, he's just, God bless him, he listens to everything I have to say, but he's like, okay. So I've been struggling with like the summer, right? So like I'm working. We work a very fast-paced industry, you know. So I feel like summer's gone and like everything is just like slipping through my fingers like water. And I'm watching as my eldest goes into middle school, which is going to be a huge transition for us. My youngest is starting preschool. And I'm having all of these feelings about like this transition and you know, how it's affecting them, how it's affecting me, and thinking about ways that we could continue to maintain the trajectory of life that we want while putting some things in place that are going to help us make these transitions smoother. Because one thing we all have to accept is that time waits for no man, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it is, it's a very emotional thing. Transition is an emotional thing because you're stepping into something new and you don't really know what that's going to look like. And I think that most of us are programmed that new is almost bad, right? Like it's scary. Like you have this fear of new. Like, will it be hard? New feels hard. And maybe we get programmed from that as a little kid, right? Like, because if you go to a new school, that's going to be hard. I'm going to have new friends and new this and new that. Like change feels scary. Because it's new, so new feels scary, so transition feels scary. And I think, like, for me, I am, like, in this retrospective phase where I had built this identity of myself around being a mom. And I'll always be a mom.
Yeah.
But I've moved out of that very hands-on role. And it has went from like where you are, which is the messy middle, right? You're in the messy middle. And I got that term yesterday from Sarah Blakely's Instagram. She's like, I am in the messy middle. And it doesn't matter that she's a billionaire and her husband are these super successful, world-renowned people. The messy middle is the messy middle. And there was a picture of her on a bathroom floor with her hand on her kid's back while he's puking in the toilet. And like every mom has been there. You've been on the bathroom floor while your kid's puking in the toilet and you've wanted to take away their pain and their sickness, but you have to just let go because you're in this messy middle. And as a parent, if you're parenting, you have that messy middle and that's how your identity is formed. So there was this, you know, this Trisha who was a child and this Trisha who was growing up. And then there was this Trisha who was mom. And that has been my identity for so long, since Trent was born 21 years ago. Trisha's a mom, right? And her whole life is built around being a good mom to Trent. And then I got Angelina and Trent and Nikki, and I'm a good mom to them. And then all of their friends, because they were all popular kids. So I'm the cheerleading mom and the you know, hockey mom and all of the moms, the hot dog mom. And all of these identities were built around being a mom. And even like I'm a working mom, right? And in that, you know, with me and Dave, when we got together, then I'm also a wife, but that's part of being a mom. And now that I'm no longer really necessarily a hands-on mom in the sense how I was of, you know, having to sit on the floor while Trent's puking, he would probably just puke by himself in his bathroom and I wouldn't know any different because he would be billeting in another country, right? But there was this very real transition, and now Trent is off to college and our home will be completely empty again. But for an even, well, I guess it's not really a longer amount of time. It'll be the same as it was last year. But I've just been really retrospective of this because I'm really stepping out of that role and that identity that has been basically like my whole life. Like, because my growth period happened during being a mom. Mm-hmm. So like now I'm in this space of like kind of what we were talking about with Eric on our last interview of who am I? What do I want? What do I want the next season of my life to look like? Am I even happy like with this space that I'm in anymore? Or do I want that to look really different? Being able to actually care about, being intentional about my own life, you know, like I was saying something to Trent the other day about being home that day. And I'm like, I don't even have anybody to tell about my bad day. And he's like, well, you can always tell me. And I'm like, no, like you're building your own life. Like you don't need to hear about my bad day. You're building your own life out in the world. And he's like, well, I'm always there for you. Aww. And it was cute because like it's always been my job to be there for him. But now we're entering this new phase of our relationship where it's like you kind of come out of the parenting role and you transition into like this friendship role. And I remember when it happened with Nikki because she went away to college. And then there was one time that I was like, are you coming home for Thanksgiving? And then I was like, oh, I guess this isn't your home anymore. And it was like such a weird space, you know? And so I think I'm reflective because I know that that was the beginning of that with Nikki. And now I'm entering that space with Trent where it's getting really real that in the next, say, you know, not that many years, less than 10 years, like this won't be home for him anymore.
Mm.
Which is so, like, you know that it's going to happen, but you don't know it's going to happen until it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it does go really fast. I like your analogy of like it's water through your fingers.
I've been feeling this way for a while. And the other thing I think too with like how fast it goes is just like the gravity of time. Yeah. You know, the older we get, the more years we have behind us pushing us forward through time. And so I think that's why it feels like it goes so quickly. And you know, it's funny because I look at my husband and you know, we're in our 10th, this is our 10th, we got together in 2015, so it's our 10th year of being a couple. And, you know, I look at him sometimes and I feel like I've known him forever because we have been together for 10 years, which is, you know, almost a fourth of my life. You know, I'm going to be what? Am I going to be, did we agree I was going to be 29 again? No, I think I said we said 37. And so it's it's definitely something that I'm glad we're talking about, because I know that if we're feeling this way, there are plenty of other people out there, whether they're moms or dads or, you know, I also think about when we talk about transitions, I think about like Aunt Cindy and not only all the transitions for all of her kids, y'all, Aunt Cindy and Uncle Tony have 7 kids, so just know that. But like the seasons of life of like welcoming their kids and grandkids back, and like when people were in a tough spot, and now she's got, you know, she's in that middle space of I've got grandma here now. Mm-hmm. So it's so weird. And I ask my dad sometimes, I'm like, is it weird growing up and kind of like getting older? He's like, yeah, it's weird.
It is weird because, like you were saying in one of the other episodes we did, like, you picture your life this certain way, and you don't really picture the next stage of your life. Like, I don't think I've ever really sat and pictured, like, Trent not living in my house anymore, which is an inevitable thing, right? Yeah. Like, he's going to go out in the world, and he's going to have a career and a family and all of this life of his own. But I don't think I ever envisioned myself past being on the stands in the hockey rink. Mm. And now I'm on the precipice of that, and it's disorienting. Like, the first year when he went away to juniors, like, I had a full-out, like, spiral of like, I mean, I cried all the time.
Aww.
Because like all of like your whole world was built around, your whole world right now is built around your 3 kids.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to come a time sooner than you think where you're going to have no kids in your house. And you may want to say that they're going to stay and they're going to come back and all of these things, but you don't know where life is going to take them. So one may go overseas and be a missionary, and one may want to go to California and work at, you know, a computer tech company. And one may meet a husband that's in New York City. And you and Ryan are sitting in this house looking at each other. They're like, how did we get here? And I think like that's the time and space that I am in right now. I'm like, how did I get here? Like, you know, you walked through these days and you had, and I think for me too, because I always had these like rhythms and routines, right? Like, I wake up in the morning, I go to the gym, I go to the office, I do the things. And like, okay, it's Christmas, it's New Year's. And like you're saying, you're being pushed forward through all of these days and all of these things. And you look back and you're like, but wait, I just blinked. Like, my Google Drive keeps sending me these pictures of Angelina being little, and and it's so clear, like, this was like yesterday, and we were, and I even talk about the vacations. Like, today I talked about like Jamaica and Turks and Caicos, but like those were years ago now. Like, that, those were like 5-6 years ago now. Where did 5-6 years go? Like, we've already been in this house that we're sitting in right now 3 years.
I know. I was just telling someone the other day, I was like, has she been there? It's definitely been more than a year. And I'm like, by God, it hasn't been 4 years.
Yeah. So it's very disorienting when you actually pause for a minute and look back, because you're like, if this was my life, like this was one life and then this was another life, like what does the next life look like? It's wild. It's really wild. And if you have gone through a personal growth transition, you start to become really intentional about like the life you want to build. So now you start asking yourself, like, what do I want to build? Where do I want to be? Because you realize that you have this power to be super intentional about each and every step of your day. Who are you? Because I feel like how we were talking about, like, life kind of happens to you for so many years, and then you realize life is happening for me, and then you realize I get to build the life that I live. And that's like a lot of power. Like, I'm in this like stepping into my power phase. Mm. And it's like, oh dang, like I really get to decide what happens next. So I have to take that gift and be really intentional about it. And when I realize that, and I talk to you about it, you get to realize, like, holy crap, like, Kylie is in full control over her life.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a super, super powerful thing to step into and understand. And then it's like, what are you going to do with that gift? What are you going to do with the gift of the next 5 years? Are you going to spend it, like, wishing you would have been here or done this or been more intentional about that or spent your time here or read more books or what do you really want the next steps to look like? What do you want to make for your family and provide for the future? And I think some of it too is because Nikki's having a baby.
Oh, right? Yeah.
So I get to think of myself in this very new role because, like, my other siblings had babies when I was in the messy middle and the thick of it. So, like, if I was around, I was around, but I couldn't be at every single thing for Michaela because Trent had things. Or I couldn't be at a lot of stuff for Tiana and Kaylee because, you know, they were living with their aunt and there was tumultuous stuff. And so I wasn't able to do that. But I get to be super incredibly intentional about the relationship that I make with Nikki's child as their aunt.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like super excited about that. And I want to be that like auntie that like takes them traveling to new spaces and places and teaches them how to, you know, grow into this amazing human and like kind of how I got to do with Nikki, but with now I'm grown up and I have all this life experience, mm-hmm. you know, like I have all this life experience and all these things to teach and grow. And I get to do that with new humans in a new way. And that's really exciting to me. And then I think of, again, like eventually maybe Trent will have a kid and I'll get to do that with that kid. So it's like, you know, you kind of you were raising these babies and these kids and you're doing the best you can. But now you're able to do like a really good job. So you do that by setting up your life, too. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, how am I living? What am I doing? Who am I impacting? Like that last guest we had, when I asked her, what is 5 to 10 years down the road Erica want to do? She knew. She had a mission. She had a statement.
She had a number.
Yeah. She had a number. And I'm just stepping into those spaces and places. Like, what does 5 to 10 year Trisha want to do? I don't think I've ever been in a space in my life where I really got to intentionally design every single piece of that. But then now I know that you actually always are in a space of that. You always are. Like you today, Kylie, you get to intentionally design every single second, moment, and day of your life. But we just don't realize we have that power until we get to a certain space.
And it's too late.
And it's today. It's today, my friend. Welcome to my TED Talk.
No, that was powerful. And it made me think of when we did that training with Andy and he had as part of the business plan, there was some personal planning too. And it said, what does your short-term, mid-term, and long-term goals look like? And I feel like, you know, especially when you're in the messy middle and before that, in your 20s, before your frontal lobe is fully developed, like your foresight is so, it's
limited.
It's limited.
You're just trying to get through today.
Right. And you don't usually have the vision, the long-term vision. And so now, you know, being in the middle with the kids that I have, I'm trying really hard to be intentional about like all of the moments, right? So like, for example, Casey and Kaya complain that I don't get in their bed every night and snuggle them anymore. And I'm like, okay. And part of me is like, well, no, because you also didn't help me clean up the damn house. So now I have to do all this crap before I get to go to bed. But I'm also feeling like, how much longer are they going to want me in this way and need me in this way? So it's like, it's hard, man. It's hard. It's hard to figure out what to prioritize and savor every single moment, because it's definitely, life in general is like this great and terrible beauty. It is the most beautiful, magnificent thing. But there's also these very sad moments as we realize that, you know, a season of life, especially like as parents, like it's done.
Yeah.
And we will never get it back until they have kids.
Right.
So it's like God sets you up to like be a kid and have your young adult phase, and then you have kids, and then he gives you a break, and then you get grandkids. Because I asked my mom one day, I was like, isn't it weird? Like I asked them, and I'm like, isn't it weird, like, watching your child grow up, right? And I'm sure you obviously have some perspective on
it.
Mine are still in the growing phases. And she's like, yeah, you know, I said, how did you, you know, how do you deal with this sadness? Because I was her only child. And she's like, I just, you know, she's like, there's no sense in dwelling on it or being sad about it because there's nothing you can do about the time that you've already had. She goes, so all I can do is work on the time that I have now and the time in the future.
Yeah. And I think that, like, with like how you were saying, picking, like, we always have all these choices.
Too many choices. I don't like it.
And what I always come back to is, like, the quality over the quantity, right? Trent doesn't remember me reading him one single book in his entire life. And but he does remember a lot of, like Andy was saying the other day, Trent was talking about how we were always there. Like, he knew he could look in the stands and we were always, always there in the stands. So were the things that mattered, you know, and I told you about that conversation I had with Angelina, and I was like, can you name, and she's mad at me, right? She's super mad at me. And I said, can you name one moment in your life that was important to you that I wasn't at? And she's like, no. Exactly. So it's like, even when your kids are mad at you for whatever ridiculous thing they've made up in their mind, because that's also trendy. That's a whole other podcast about the trend of blaming your parents for, I don't know, not being a Netflix special or whatever you've made up in your mind. It's fine. But when you take it down to their core and you ask them, like, name one thing that was important to you that I wasn't a part of. If they can say there isn't any, then you did a good job because you were at the important things. I was at the piano recital, the volleyball games. I made sure she got confirmed and she had that moment. I was at every choir concert, even though they were terrible. I planned every birthday party to be impactful and important in a memory to her. So with both of my kids, although there were tons of late nights and tons of me looking at my phone, every moment that was important to them, I was there. And if I wasn't, like, there's one day that I wish I could get back for Trent, which is his first junior hockey game. I was the one that drove him to Red Lake and unpacked all of his stuff and got him settled. But I left because I was running the Hawaii Marathon and that was already all booked. And we didn't know he was going to go there. And Andy went and he was at his first junior game. And his first junior game went to double overtime shootout and he won. And I watched it on video and he pointed at his dad. Aww. And skated around that rink. And every time I watch that video, I'm like, man, I wish I would have been there. But at the same time, it's that mixed emotions because I'm so glad him and his dad have that memory.
Yeah.
Like, my heart is so happy that him and Andy have that core memory and that hug and that picture of him with that puck, because that was Trent's dream since he was a baby, was to play junior hockey. And him and Andy have that moment and that memory. And that's how it was when he left, because I was so sad to come home and him not be here. Mm-hmm. Like, because every day when I come home from work, I would go in his room and snuggle him and hug him. And like, that was my moment of my day. Like, I do all this every day so I can come home and hug you and see how your day was. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get to do that anymore because he was in Northern Canada with Noba, you know, and I didn't get that anymore. So although I was sad and I had to rebuild and figure out who I was also so happy and excited for him to go get this experience. But at the same time, when bad things would happen, I was so sad that I couldn't be there. You know, like when he got traded, I try to explain to people, like, when Nikki was still young, but she was getting older, I said, when you have a child, you can actually envision your heart being out of your chest and in the middle of the world. Like, I could actually visualize, like, my heart being in the air and, like, feeling it being squeezed. Because that is the feeling of letting your child out in the world. Because she's like, what is it like when Trent goes out and drives a car, when he first got a car and got his license? Mm-hmm. And that's what I explained. I'm like, allowing your kid to go out in the world and drive a car is like taking your heart out of your chest and putting it out in the world, because he's my whole entire heart, but I have to let him out in the world and be okay with, like, if he gets in a car accident or if somebody does something bad to him or breaks his heart. You know, he goes out and he dates girls and they're going to break his heart. And I'm going to want to do everything in the whole wide world to fix these things, but I can't fix them.
No.
There's nothing I can do. And so it hurts so bad, but you're also so damn proud and so excited. And so it's that hard. So, like, those feelings you have right now of, like, feeling torn about snuggling or getting some work done, right? Like, those are little struggles and little heartaches. And I hate to tell you, like, they're going to get so much bigger.
It's like, it doesn't get better, y'all. It does not get better.
It gets so much harder because it doesn't matter how old they get. And I didn't understand this until my kids got older. Like, it doesn't matter how old they get. Like, in my mind, I used to think, like, I just got to get this kid to 18 and, like, I did a good job, you know? And it's so not even true. Because then you got to watch them, like, go out and get jobs or lose jobs or not be able to get jobs or go out and have girlfriends and then they dump them or do them wrong and, like, you know, or go out and get married someday and then go through like, you have to watch them go through bigger and bigger and bigger heartbreaks and devastations. And every time you're like, I can't even do nothing about this.
Yeah.
And it's so hard. So it's like, those transitional moments. And it's like, you know, we're talking about kids, but some people don't have kids. And there's, and this is a good spot for a break, because when we come back, we'll talk about those transitional moments in your relationships. Because your relationships too, like, you form these identities and your lives around these relationships in your life. And those are transitional too.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that over 80% of real estate agents call it quits within their first year in the business? It's a staggering statistic. But at MyStarsAcademy.com, we're here to change that narrative. Our expert-based training and coaching program caters to both agents and brokers. The Agent Accelerator Program is your key to leveling up your real estate business. Learn how to generate a constant flow of free leads, convert those leads into loyal clients, and keep them coming back for more as repeat business. Our industry experts bring years of proven success to the table and provide one-on-one coaching to help you achieve structure and work-life balance. We'll map out a plan for you to follow, guiding you through the steps to scale and grow both in your business and personal life. Don't become another statistic. Visit MyStarsAcademy.com and enroll today to pave the way for your future success.
And we are back. All right. So the next one's a big one because it affects literally every single human on the planet. And that is relationships, not just the romantic kind. We are talking about all of them, all of your relationships in life, your friends, your family, your coworkers, your neighbors, the people that you gym with or you church with. When you go through transitions, it strains your relationship. Like, I will tell you, when I moved to this house, it changed some relationships that I didn't think would change. Hmm. And that also was really hard for me. Moving to this house, I didn't anticipate the transition that I went through, because right after we moved, Trent left. And then it really soaked in how pillars of friendship affect you as well. And so I learned about your pillars in,
Mel Robbins.
Was it Mel Robbins? Yeah.
The Let Them Theory.
The Let Them Theory. Okay. So she talks about the three pillars, and learning that was really helpful to me.
It helped me a lot,
because I didn't understand. I'm like, wait a minute, but we were best friends. Do you not love me anymore? But understanding proximity, timing, and energy. And so for me, my proximity changed. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I wasn't in that shared space as the people that I used to be around anymore. And a big one was like my gym. And there was quite a few people that I used to gym with that had become really good friends of mine that I spent a lot of time with. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden I'm like, hey, you want to do this? 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 But proximity also had combined with timing. A lot of those people are in different stages of life. And here's the thing, like, you may be able to not have one of these, like you and I are in very different stages of life, mm-hmm. but proximity wise, we're around each other all the time. Like, we work together, we're living in the same city, you know? And I think what we noticed is even when we worked together, but we lived far away from each other, we weren't as in sync as we are now that we work together and we are next to each other.
Yeah.
Like, it is a game changer when you have all of these things synced up.
And I would like to point out, we totally vibe.
Yes. Okay. The so energy.
We hit on all three.
We are on all three the pillars.
The trifecta of best friendship.
We are becoming each other. But we're also growing
and
together.
This is so true, because I have several girlfriends who at different seasons in life, we were just thick as thieves, super tight. Mm-hmm. And one of them, my girlfriend, who I've known since high school, we hung out and like we went through some together.
Yeah, you trauma bonded.
And we trauma bonded and we had the same friends. And then, you know, life took her down to Hazel Park, which it's like a 40-minute drive from here.
Yeah.
But when she used to be 10 minutes up the street, it was different. And that was okay. And we, you know, we talk and whatever. The one thing I do love about the girlfriends that I do have that I'm not as quote unquote close with is like they also understand.
Yeah.
Life be life in. Like Amanda, we spent all of our time together because, you know, I had Casey and then she had Braxton. And then I had Kaya, and that they call her their another mother. And it is adorable. And but, you know, then our two children we had in common started hitting like pre-puberty. So like Braxton doesn't want to hang out with Casey, and Casey wants to be with the girls. Like they're in that phase of friendship where like they're only hanging out with boys or girls.
Yeah.
And so we don't. And she's expecting a baby. And so like she's in a completely different time frame. But the one thing I should say all that to say this is that if you find yourself in that space where you feel like you're not as close to someone, don't take it personal. One of these things has fallen away, and that's okay. If it's on your heart that it's bothering you, call them.
Yeah.
Or text them and be like, hey, don't feel pressured to respond, but just know I'm over here thinking about you. I'm free this weekend if you do happen to have a free moment, you know?
Yeah. The friendship definitely can survive if you don't take it personal. The problem happens when, you know, you start to turn somebody into the villain because, you know, you're just too busy for me now. No, like you moved away and I have three little kids, and like that's totally fine. When we are able to make a plan for 6 months from now, we will pick up just like we always have. And that is totally fine.
That is what I do love about the friendships that I have is like, I love that we can just pick up and carry on.
Yeah. But at the same token, also, I want to give everybody permission, and I had to give myself permission, that sometimes we outgrow people. Mm-hmm. So there were some people that, you know, she moved away, she's in a different stage in life, our energy doesn't match anymore. And you know what? I've changed. She's changed. I don't like some of the things that are still in the way she is. And I don't know, maybe she doesn't like some of the things that are in the way that I am. And we don't have to keep like acting like we're besties anymore. I'm okay with that. I am okay with I have outgrown that friendship, and that was who my best friend was then, and it's not now.
And again, I guess it can be personal. It can be personal. I mean, like, you know, if people are doing awful things to you, that's personal. But on the whole, I feel like understanding. I love the way that Mel, if you haven't listened to it or read it, the Let Them theory is awesome. Mm-hmm. I love the way that she outlined all of these things, because there were a couple friendships that I had that until I heard this, I felt really guilty about.
Mm-hmm.
And now same. I'm like, oh, well, this pillar got kicked out because life took her over here and got her married, and life took me over here and got me married, and that's fine.
Well, and I think that I like what Alex Hormozi said, and he said that, you know, the way that I live isn't preferable to some people, but the way that they live isn't preferable to me. So, like, I used to live a different way, and I would be okay with, you know, drama or, you know, over exaggerations, or y'all being drinking and acting a fool and then acting like it didn't happen and being fine the next day. I'm not okay with that anymore. That is not,
Trisha don't play no more.
I don't tolerate bullshit. I just don't. And I'm not going to play in that playground anymore where you get drunk, you act ridiculous, and then the next day you act like it didn't happen, and I'm going to be fine about it. Like, I don't tolerate disrespect anymore. I don't tolerate you tolerating disrespect from your significant other. I don't tolerate y'all backstabbing and talking crap about each other and then jumping together in a barbecue and acting like everything's fine. I don't tolerate those things anymore. If you want to continue, that's cool, but we just aren't going to be friends anymore. And that's totally okay. The way I live isn't preferable to you, and the way you live isn't preferable to me, and that is fine. When we were friends, it served great purpose to us both to be friends and helped us both grow in the ways that we needed to grow and meet the people we needed to meet and let God work out what he needed to work out in those times. And like the person I'm thinking about, like, I'm super grateful for her in the time that she was my best friend. And she helped me through a lot of hard spaces and introduced me to some of my best habits and some great things. But today, who she has grown into is different than who I've grown into. And that friendship has been outgrown. And that's okay. And I think, like, being able to read the Mel Robbins Let Them book and be okay with those things is just such good closure.
It's peaceful.
It is. And the same with relationships. Like, who you were when you entered a relationship is not necessarily who, like, sometimes when me and Trent will talk about, he'll be like, I can't ever imagine you and Dad being together and being married. And I'm like, well, that's because
no one can.
And
I was there.
We were completely different humans, though. 19-year-old Andy and 21-year-old Trisha, like, that life doesn't even seem like the same life that I'm in today. It's actually really bizarre to think that this is one continuous time continuum.
You're like, I'm watching a couple different movies here.
For real. That's what it feels like. It really feels like my life is a series of many different movies. And so that's okay. Like, and then, you know, if we were 60 years old and both of our significant others died, there wouldn't be a time or space that we would get back together, because we are also significantly different humans today, and we wouldn't want to do that to each other.
That would be weird.
Even though we can be best friends now. So it's like, even like, it's okay that those relationships like served their purpose in that time and helped you grow into the next stage of your life.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you should ever go back to that relationship, even if you become different people. So it's like understanding that like relationships have a time and a reason and a season, and then you can close those and move on. Somebody doesn't have to be the villain. That's what I'm trying to get to. Like, you don't always need a villain in your story. And that reverts me over to the person that we're both thinking about, because we're getting these eyes, right? Like, there are people in the world, and they're usually like young, emotionally immature humans that think like, I need to throw this big dramatic fit and somebody has to be a villain. Dude, nobody has to be a villain. Like, it's okay if this has just ran its course and we move on to the next thing. It's ridiculous, actually. It's emotionally immature if you are going to make somebody a villain just because something has ran its course and it is just not a thing anymore. It's ridiculous. Quit doing that.
Stop
mean,
it.
Mean girl. I posted this on my story the other day. It's like being a mean girl isn't cute. Like, heal yourself, get yourself some therapy, and move on and be a grown up, right? Like, even marriages, every marriage that ends in divorce doesn't have to be this catastrophized, chaotic, ridiculous event. It can just be, you've grown into a different person. I've grown into a different person. We are in a different time and space in our lives. And this no longer just makes sense. And that's okay. It doesn't have to be a big dramatic Facebook blow up of, this is complicated. We no longer, like, come on, dude. Like, be emotionally healed and be a grown up. It's okay.
So that leads us into our activity, our activity
activities.
Challenge.
We like activities.
Okay, so here's what you're going to do. You are going to grab a notebook, and you are going to audit your circle.
I love an audit.
She does love an audit.
It's important, though.
It is important to take stock. And that is one thing that, you know, like when you're dealing with where is my time going? Where is my money going? You know, where are my friendships going?
Where are my emotions going?
Where are my emotions going?
Because that's really what it comes down to. This all comes down to, like, how are you feeling inside? Is this person still bringing us joy? Is this person still bringing us joy? Or have they turned into a big drama bag?
A big drama bag. Listen, if that's the case, my 11-year-old's off the boat, right?
Cut her out. Ship the kid off.
No, I want you guys to grab a notebook or notes app on the phone.
Yeah.
I want you to write down the people that are closest to you, okay? Pick five people. I don't know. I feel like I'm an adult and, like, my circle of friends is, like, four. So, like, if I'm auditing, I am writing down, like, four names and one of them is
my mom. But think about how important those four people are then, because you are the accumulation of the four people around you. So if one of those four people is dragging you down, sucking your soul, making you feel miserable, like, just not feeding you with energy anymore, that person's got to go because they are one-fourth of your energy source.
That's a good point.
They're one-fourth of the influence on if you are growing or stagnating. They're one-fourth of the energy of if you are becoming a better person or a worse person. Are you building an empire or destroying the empire? If you only have four people, every single one of those four people are crucial. Crucial. Because that's one of four people. That's a quarter of the people in your ear.
Yeah.
Are they encouraging you or discouraging you?
Oh, God, I'm so glad you're one of my four.
Me too.
You're not getting off the boat.
Casey's out. Trisha stays.
Okay, so take your notebook and you need to write down the names of the people in your circle. And the question that they have here is not lining up with what I had initially. So where did it go? What you are going to ask yourself is, I think the question was, basically what Trisha said, is this person giving me joy? What was the question, Trisha?
I don't know.
Trisha,
where are you going with your notebook?
The notebook. It says do an audit. This was the idea.
Write down
that
the
I
people
got.
You spend the most time with.
Write down the people you spend the most time with.
Then give them the test. Are they proximity, timing, energy? Which pillars are strong? Which ones are crumbling? Who consistently lifts you up and who drains you?
Oh, that was so much easier than all the bullshit that I had written down.
This is why we don't use our notes all day today. We've just been flowing. So if you've liked the podcast this month, it's because we're getting in alignment with not using our notes anymore.
Well, we have the notes. The notes are important, especially if we're talking about something very scientific. It reminds us of the points that we want to make. But I really have enjoyed our conversations.
I do too. And I like the this one note, though, is one bold move, make one courageous phone call this week to either call someone you want to reconnect with that you haven't because it's hard, or I love you, but this dynamic isn't working anymore for me conversation. Because we are grown-ups and we do have to have conversations sometimes. And I seen this, Nicole, my sister-in-law Nicole posted on her Facebook feed the other day, and it was like, you know, reconnect with people before it's too late. And she got a lot of shade from people like, some people are toxic and once you cut that boundary, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I really sat with that for a while because I don't think it's that cut and dry that when you cut somebody out, they should be cut out forever.
Agreed.
I think that there are reasons to set boundaries, and those reasons may stay, but sometimes you just might have been young and being ridiculous, right? Like, you may have been young and bullheaded and deciding like, oh, you're this or that or this or that, and you may have made this decision to cut somebody off, and then you grow and you realize, I was just being a spoiled brat. And you need to be a bigger person and say, I'm sorry for being a spoiled brat. Like, my bad, dude. Right? But at the same time, like, sometimes you do need to sit down with somebody and be like, this just is not working and serving me anymore. Or sometimes it doesn't have to be that dramatic. Sometimes you just can recognize, you know what, this person isn't a good person for being in my four anymore. I'm just going to let it go. I'm just going to start to gradually distance myself from this person and let it be, because they aren't a good influence on me anymore. They aren't filling my soul and lighting me up. Every time I have a conversation with them, it is completely draining. Or, you know what? Me and my husband, we were talking about this when we were doing, I think you were on that Zoom, the midweek momentum. Yeah, because you were one of the persons that commented. We had so many women on that call that said, well, when me and my husband or my significant got together, you know, we are opposites of each other. Like, he's this way and I'm this way and he's this way and I'm this way. But they were all like, we've been together for so long. We've been together for so long. And I made that point of, when you guys got together 10, 15, 20 years ago, you may not have been opposites. You may have been very, very much the same. But over time, you grew and you changed and you developed and you leveled up, and the people you were surrounding yourself with were different, and the spaces and places you were in changed, and your thoughts changed. Because one thing that's true is, things that I was very hard and fast about and how I believed this or that or this or that have very much changed over time.
Oh, yeah.
Very much. And the other person in your relationship may not have went through all of those changes. Maybe they're older than you are and they already had different life experiences and they had already become the person that they were going to be. Or maybe they weren't in the places and spaces and going through the growth. Like Erica was saying, how she kept giving her husband these books and saying, why won't you change this? And why won't you do this? And why won't you do that? And because they're not of the same mindset, so they don't grow the same way. Mm-hmm. And they're not in the same conversations. And they're not in the same rooms. And that happens. So you have to decide, like, I think it was like a Facebook reel or something. And he was like, you know, y'all ain't in a happy marriage, but you gonna stay together for another 20 years. And it's like, we talked about that today. Like, how many people do that? Or how many people are like, well, he's my brother, so I just have to put up with him acting ridiculous. Or, well, that's my dad, so I just have to deal with it. Like, no, you don't. You don't. You don't. Just because they're family doesn't mean you have to allow them to be around you 24/7 and act this way or talk this way or be this way to you. You get to decide. You get to set boundaries. You get to, going back to the beginning of our conversation, you get to be intentional about the life that you build. And that starts with the relationships that are around you. It is the job, the career that you are in. Like, if you are not happy and you're doing soul-sucking work, like, again, going back to that Erica conversation or our friend Nicole who was on the podcast, you know, if you are in this corporate 9-to-5 and you absolutely hate it, or maybe you're like us and you're in sales and you are sick of this shit. It could be either way, right? You're just like, I'm sick of the emotional roller coaster. Not everybody is built the same. And not everybody stays the same. You are going to change with what lights you up and what you're willing to tolerate and how you want to live. And that is absolutely okay. But going back to where you were, like, take an audit. go through and write down all of these things. Where am I? What am I doing? Who am I surrounding myself with? What does my day look like every day? And, you know,
where do I see myself in 10 years?
Where do I want to be in 5 to 10 years? Where do I see myself? And is that where I want to be? Is that where I want to be? Is this how I want my days to look? You know, we have on here like build a transition toolkit. You're talking about like resources, right? Yeah. Like what's one mental health resource? What's one daily ritual? Who do I have as an accountability buddy? Like what does my physical activity look like? What are my joy habits? I sat and thought about that one time. I had a coach and he's like, well, what do you do for self-care? And you don't get to say going to the gym. And I'm like, well, I do go to the gym. That's self-care. And he's like, no, it's not. Especially not the way you go. It's punishment. Look at me. I went running the other day and I like wiped out a whole knee, a whole elbow and both palms feeling like Jesus with like bandages on myself, right? Like that's not exactly self-care, you know, like it is, but it's not a joy habit. Like what is bringing you
joy? What does bring you joy?
Music, art, comedy. What are you doing that brings you joy?
No, and what I brings you joy?
Me? Traveling. I love to travel. And I think that's why, like, not just like Trent and hockey, but I think that's one of the reasons why I loved being a hockey mom so much is because I got to travel and I didn't have to feel guilty about spending money on the travel because it's for my kid, right? Or because I'm going to see my kid. But like when Trent was in Kirkland Lake, like I'd drive 11 hours to go out there because I like the process of traveling. Like I like to pack my bags. I like to go see a new place. I like to talk to strangers in that new environment and like meet new people and do new things and try new foods and see new sights. I don't care if it is a little teeny tiny Canadian town that don't have anything. I want to see your statues. I want to walk around your city. I want to go to your bowling alley and meet, you know, Seth, the guy that returns the shoes. I don't know, like exploring
I
new
love that you
places.
Had his name. You did have his name.
Yeah, I want to explore new places. I want to learn new things. I want to explore new cultures and new people and ways of life and ways that they live. Like I love traveling. I love traveling. I don't care if it is to a different park, you know? I think that's why I like running and riding my bike and stuff is because, like, even if it's just in your own community, like, I like doing new things mm-hmm. with new people in new places. I like that. I want to do more of that. I want to see the world. We're going to Rome.
I was going to say, you want to go to Rome? Let's go.
We're going to Rome.
We're going.
Yeah. Because I think that that's how you do figure out where you want to be in 5 to 10 years. If you are always in this little circle doing the exact same thing every single day, never expanding or meeting new people or going new places or caring about leveling up, like, I don't ever want to just settle. Like, this isn't enough for me. But it never will be. Like, people will be like, when do you know enough's enough? Never, because there's always more to learn. There's always more to see. There's always more to do. And life is too short to not. It's like, why wouldn't you want to get to, like, you're talking about the end of your days and be like, I went to this one trip in Bali, and then we went to Rome, and then we seen this, and we ate this amazing carbonara.
Remember
and
that like, guy that tried to pick us up?
Whatever.
We almost got kidnapped.
We're not getting kidnapped.
We're not getting kidnapped.
You always got to ruin my flow.
Listen.
Transitions will be coming. Here's the point of the show. If we resist them, they're going to hurt more. If we honor them, they will grow us. And you can't expect perfection, man. Like, your kids aren't going to be perfect.
Mm-mm.
Where your kids go isn't going to be perfect. Your relationships aren't going to be perfect. Your community's not going to be perfect. You're going to have messy moments. And you're kind of always going to be in the messy middle because you're always becoming the next version of yourself. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, you're in the messy middle of like little children, but I'm in like the messy middle of like your 40s, which is like when you kind of stop caring so much and you figure out like who you really want to be instead of who everybody else wants you to be. And that's beautiful too. And that's where a lot of changes happen. But if you're intentional about them, it can also be really amazing. And you don't just settle. You keep exploring.
Are you a member of the We Do Not Care Club?
I love the We Do Not Care Club.
She's so amazing.
I will listen to the We Do Not Care Club.
Oh, my God.
Forever.
I scroll those comments. I'm like, yep, don't care about that. Don't. And listen, I'm not even there. I'm like in training. I mean, we do not care training.
But I think this message is important, though, too, because when you hit these transitional moments, you think like you failed at something. You are not behind. You are not broken. You did not fail. And you are not alone. Like, it's actually a really great thing because you're becoming what's next. And when you become what's next and you're intentional about it, like, that's how you keep making your life better and better and better. And that's so huge, you know? It's so impactful on you and the people around you and the world because you take that brave next action. Mm-hmm. And you become that brave next version of yourself. And you do stop settling. And you do become, like, that authentic, this is who I am. And I'm excited about it. So, like, get on board or get on because when you get all people that are on board and they're cheering for you and they're getting you excited and pumped up about what's next, like, that's what's great, right? Like,
yeah.
think about the vibe in our office right now. Like, every time I'm in there, everybody is cheering each other on. They're excited. Oh, my gosh, you got this deal. You got this deal. You got this deal. You got this deal. And we had to go through a lot of transition and a lot of letting go and a lot of, like,
pruning,
a lot of pruning and negative emotions and fears and all this, like, stuff to get rid of the wrong people and the trash to get the right people and the right vibe and the right culture and the right excitement, which is what's happening now. And it's so good. I love it. I love it because I'm so excited about it. And every day I get to get excited with excited people.
Yay!
Let's get excited.
Get excited. Get excited. Well, I'm excited to launch this out into the world. So wherever you are listening, please make sure you hit that sub button before you go. Thank you for joining us this week. Make sure you come back next week because we drop fresh content every Thursday on The Elite Life.
Bye!
Thank you for joining us today on The Elite Life Podcast with Trish and Kylie. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend so we can keep delivering you more fantastic insights on grit, grace, and growth. Stay connected with us on Instagram and Facebook, where we'll keep the ideas flowing to help you build a life you love and leave a legacy you can be proud of. Until next time.